Welcome to the Atom Ventures podcast. My name is Byron Patel. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Atom Ventures. And today I want to give you a little bit of a warning. My guest today is going to be in South Africa and I'm in London. So recording this over Skype. So there may be some glitches here and there, but I hope you enjoy the recording and let's get on with the podcast. Hi, Jonathan. How are you doing?
Hey, Byron. Good to be here.
Jonathan is a conflict transformation coach. And today we're going to talk about conflict resolution and generally how people should handle conflicts. So, Jonathan, firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into conflict resolution? What's your background?
Yeah, so conflict resolution, and it's interesting. Let's put a little flag to talk about what exactly conflict resolution is, because that's a very specific term for a much larger field of conflict management. But where I kind of come from is... a lot of actually self-study. My background is in business. I did marketing for a number of years, but really what had me go down this path was a personal transformation I had. The story goes that I always wanted to do this van life thing. Maybe, have you heard of this thing, the van life, Byron, before?
Yeah. So basically just getting in the back of a van and running around the world.
Exactly. And so it was my girlfriend at the time, and she's now my wife. So very happy ending to that story.
Congratulations.
But thank you. Yeah, we always wanted to do that. We're really into the outdoors. We want to just go to national parks around the States and in Canada and just be in nature and check out cool cities. So, you know, we saved up a bunch of money and we quit our jobs, and that's where we headed in. And I just remember being so excited the day that we left. You know, we had this great partnership. I was excited to quit the 9-to-5 and also just to get to know, you know, this woman better, this person that I was considering spending the rest of my life with. And that excitement and peace lasted for about 2 days, because when you put two adults in a tiny van like that, and it was a 1984 GMC Bandura, if any of our listeners here feel like looking it up. Anyway, when you put two full-size adults in a space like that, you know, you get up in each other's personal space. And we were both working 40-hour jobs, so we weren't used to spending that much time together other than maybe on vacation. And so there were some challenges that kind of came up. And I'll keep a long story short. Basically, what came of it is recognizing that most of the breakdowns that we were having were all related to communication breakdowns. Just really nuanced things as well. Nothing that like is like super obvious. And fortunately, I was unemployed, had lots of time on my hands, doing lots of reading. And so I started looking up all sorts of stuff about communication, different systems out there, what worked, what doesn't work. And it started solving problems. And so I just became obsessed. I was reading books and meticulously practicing. And, you know, I heard Laura's my wife. I heard her feelings a bunch. And I just kept going because I knew that there was something behind this. And what really came out was my own system of what I knew worked, what I knew didn't work. And not only did it make my, you know, personal relationship with this woman extraordinary, but it really spread beyond that to relationships with family, with friends. So that's kind of how I got into the world of communication. And specifically conflict, just, I don't know how else to say it. It just really fascinates me. You know, some people like bikes, some people like, you know, bird watching. And I just love talking about conflict. I think it's really interesting. I think it's really fascinating. It's something that I know a lot about. And I love to, empower others to, upgrade their communication skills so they can resolve conflict really powerfully as well.
So you said something very interesting there, that you realized that issues were boiling down to communication. Because mm-hmm. when you're living in close settings with people, and you know, we're in the COVID situation now where many, many people are living very close quarters, and maybe, you know, they're not necessarily living the glorious life that they think they could be, all living together, happy families. How did you come to the conclusion that it was communication that was the issue and not anything else, personalities or whatever?
Yeah, I skipped the story, but I will tell it. It is a good one. And basically what happened is there was a recurring behavior pattern that happened that we both noticed. So there was a degree of self-awareness where we realized, okay, something is up here. And the behavior pattern was this. We would be usually making food in our little van. And I would say something like, hey, can you get me this thing? And then she would snap at me. Nice. And it happened too many times. It happened like a few times, and it would just start these bickering, not like full blown fights or anything, but just we kind of get at each other. And there was just one of, I think it was like the third time we were just like, okay, what's going on here? Like, all I did was ask you for this thing. And what we realized that there was a nuance there. She grew up in a family where it was just her and her mom, and that's it. And it was, the emphasis was on patience and waiting for your turn. I grew up in a household of three kids where it was definitely not like that. It was all about, if you want something done for you, you got to make it known loud and clear, and you just kind of go, go, go. So when I say, can you get that for me? Although I may or may not have had expectations, you know, I wanted her to do that for me, whether it was now or later. I'm just like, I'm just saying it out loud so that she knows. Whereas what she heard is, she heard, stop what you're doing immediately and do this thing for me.
That, I found that very, very interesting, actually, because I think especially in this stage, so to set you a little bit of a scene, you know, I work remotely and obviously communicate with many people abroad. You're in South Africa at the moment. And when you know, what's very hard from a text-based scenario is understanding intention. So then sometimes I'll be with the team and just talking to the team, and I'll ask them a question, and or I'll ask them, can you do the X, Y, and Z thing? So then the immediate reaction is, oh, I'm busy, can't do it now. And actually, really, I didn't really need them to do this at this point in time. It's just because it was delivered through the medium of, you know, a team, a chat message or whatever it is. People think that everything suddenly has to be instant. And I've tried, and I've recognized that in the work that I do. So I try and say, you know, there's no rush, et cetera, et cetera. Do this when you can. But people still, it's a reaction in their head that no matter what, if it comes through a chat, if it comes from an email, I've got to answer it straight away. So, you know, how do you unlearn that, really?
That's a really great question. You know, we're going to talk about ourselves. Like, how do I unlearn that for myself? Because the thing is, we can't control how other people unlearn it. You know, unless you're maybe part of a team, it's a conversation that you need to have, like kind of, hey, listen, team, I've been noticing this pattern. Let's like come up with some sort of system that works. Really, what I would say in that specific scenario, and it sounds like you already started to do it, is you're just saying no rush on this. Like, you're giving a time frame. Like, hey, when you do this, I need this by X date. And that kind of already dissolves any potential rush situation. You're making it clear. It's like one of those, it's like creating like a SMART goal. You know, the SMART goals, you've got specific, measurable, achievable, and then it's time specific as well. So you're saying, this is what I want, you know, and this is when I want it by. Really simple. And then this way, they're not necessarily rushing to get it done. They may not feel the need to say, oh, I can't do this, I'm busy right now. You're kind of answering the question before they may already ask it. So that's kind of one way to go about that. And, you know, to a larger picture, if I may go on this, talking about this, is just this idea of text. I mean, this is because this is what we're all dealing with. We're moving more and more toward text. And there's a huge impact on our ability to communicate with each other when we're moving toward text-based communication. Because text-based communication, you can talk to any communication expert, they're going to say the same thing about it. It strips away all the nuance of communication via video, definitely face-to-face. There's like so much more that we're taking in than just the words that people are saying. There's facial cues, there's gestures, there's the environment, there's all the pauses in between, there's tonality, there's so much. Video would be that next step down. Voice would be a next step down, but still so much that we can take away from voice. But as soon as you go to text, you're stripping away like 90% of the communication. And so as a general rule that I give to you and also our listeners here today is that I consider text communication, you use text for transmitting information, and everything else, just get on a phone, send a voice note. Voice notes are on everything. They're on LinkedIn. You can send voice notes on LinkedIn. I don't know if you knew that, but voice notes are super easy. They carry so much more information for us to understand the nuances, and already there, you'll avoid a ton of conflict, a ton of miscommunications, a ton of breakdown. And what that does in the long run is it saves you time and ultimately money.
Sure. Okay. So going back to conflict management, I guess is the better term to use. How do you know, you in your situation, you spotted that conflict. Now in a work situation, I guess obviously seeing conflict before it actually arises and erupts is the big thing, right? You want to make sure you can get ahead of it. So how when you talk to, you know, the people that you coach, how do you get them to spot, you know, incidents that before they might occur? How can they be sensitive to what's going on around them, I guess?
So that's definitely what we're aiming for, right? Is this kind of conflict prevention, as it would be called. So in this kind of field of conflict management, we have conflict prevention, conflict resolution is when we're looking to resolve problems, but it's a very short-term solution. And we could talk later about conflict transformation, which is what I'm really interested in, which is like really taking that conflict and transforming it into something new. But in terms of preventing this conflict in advance, one thing I would say to listeners, it's so hard to remember. I mean, I fall into the same trap as well. Is listen, you cannot control other people. You can't control what they're going to think, what they're going to feel, how they're going to act. That is out of your control. What you can control is your own reaction to situations. And I would really say if you're noticing that there might be some tension brewing, I mean, trust your gut. There's probably some tension brewing. There's lots of subtle signals that maybe you're detecting at a subconscious level. And this is my way of doing it. And I've become comfortable because I've had so many of these difficult conversations before. And so guess what? These difficult conversations are becoming a lot less difficult for me. I head right into it. I just clear up the air. If I notice some tension brewing, I will go up to the person and I'll say something like, listen, you know, I have this crazy story that, you know, when I said this thing, I may have made you annoyed or angry. And I just want to make sure that that's like, you know, that we're all okay, because the last thing I want to do is do this. You know, I see you as a teammate, whatever it is. What I'm really doing in this conversation is I'm making my intentions clear. And by making my intentions clear, I'm kind of showing them that there's no threat coming from me. Because I don't know have you heard of the Google Aristotle project?
No, I haven't.
They looked at what makes an effective team. It's this project they did like 10 years ago. Definitely encourage you and your listeners to check it out. And the number one factor that makes teams high performing is psychological trust. Like there's psychological safety. Sorry. There's got to be safety in the team. And when we don't know the other person's intentions, when we feel like threatened to kind of fully share our ideas and fully share ourselves, it's ultimately going to lower our performance on a team. And so the idea that I would recommend, to you and your listeners in that case where you see conflict brewing, and I believe that's the question that is to just address it head on. The longer you wait with these things, the more likely that it's going to A, drag on, and B, be harder to actually bring it back to a point where you're working well together.
So this kind of moves on to a point around fear. So, you know, not only a lot of people fear conflict, right? So the reason that they don't get ahead of things is simply because they are, as you say, they're scared of that reaction that comes through. So I guess in many ways, how do you then prepare people to handle what comes back? Because you could go up to someone and using your example, you know, say, I've heard this in a meeting about X, Y, and Z things. And the person could come back and say, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. I meant this. Or they could come back and say, yeah, I believe this, you know, and then get quite aggressive about it. And that's why people, I guess, do shy away from getting it, you know, ahead of things. So, you know, how would you prepare people to say, okay, don't worry about what that person's saying? Or do worry.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, that's something that I work on for months with my clients to really build in as an ingrained habit, and not even just as a habit, like a strategy, but like as a way of being able to be with other people's communications. But to answer your question, I can give you a few quick tips, a few quick wins that you could kind of implement into this thing. I want to take a step back here. So, you know, this whole fear, I mean, first, I would just want to acknowledge that, yeah, it's scary. Okay. I wasn't always like diving into difficult conversations. I still get intimidated by conversations sometimes, no doubt. And it's understandable. You don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of unknown. We humans, we don't like uncertainty, unknown. Look at how we're reacting with COVID, right? So we don't like that uncertainty. And it can also be very uncomfortable. And humans will go to great lengths to avoid discomfort. So it's not surprising that difficult, some of us will go to extreme lengths just to avoid having that conversation with another person. Now, some tips to kind of overcoming this fear. Without kind of diving too much into this, I mean, there's like a whole world we can explore. The quick tips that I will give you is this, you know, the first thing is prepare for the conversation. Take the time to prepare, okay? Grab a friend, grab someone you trust, say like, this is what I want to talk about, and actually have an outline of what it is that you want to talk about. Like literally write it down. You can bring a piece of paper to any difficult conversation. I definitely recommend it. it actually, I think for some people, it's reassuring. It's like, I've thought this through, like, hey, listen, you know, there's this conversation I've been meaning to have. I wrote down some points that I want to make sure that I'm able to share. And then I want to hear what you have to say as well. So that's the first thing, is prepare your conversation. The other kind of tip, it's kind of a big thing, and it's easier said than done, is really make your intentions clear. That's what their brain at a subconscious level, the other person who might be reacting aggressively to you, they're just constantly, their brain is constantly scanning for threats. So is yours. So are all of ours. They're just constantly scanning for threats. It's asking the question, can I trust this person? Can I trust this person? And so if you make your intentions clear off the bat, they're less likely to have that alarm go off. They're more likely to be, willing to have this conversation with you. And then another thing I would recommend is make sure to also ask them questions. So although it is that you do want to say some certain things about how they've maybe been behaving, how you feel about something, whatever it is, also ask them. Make sure to put the spotlight on them, because they're going to have their own things that they want to say as well. And it's especially likely if they're feeling agitated, aggravated, angry, whatever it is, that if they're feeling triggered in any way, that it may not even matter what you say, because they're literally waiting so you can finish talking for them to be able to say something. So sometimes it just requires a lot of listening to be able to head into these conversations. So to go back and to recap on some of these points that I want you to take into these conversations, you, Vairav, and your listeners, is one is like, do some planning, know what it is that you want to talk about. Two, make your intentions clear at the beginning of the conversation. It's kind of like going into any meeting, right? You set an agenda for a meeting, right? So that you know what you're going to talk about. It's the same idea. If you have to have a difficult conversation, say, hey, listen, this happened the other day. I really want to talk about it. And I also want to hear your opinions on like what you think went down. And then go in and say what it is that you need to say, and just be ready to listen to what it is that they're going to say as well, because it's just as important as being able to express your piece. That's what I'll give you for now in terms of a surface level. There's obviously much more to that. Like, then what? What if they say this? Or what if they get triggered? Or what if, I get triggered? There's all sorts of variables that can happen. Isn't just communication so juicy? It's this like real time dynamic interaction. You can never really tell what's going to happen. But there are some solid skills that, you can learn, that I work with in my clients, some mindsets that you can take in that can really have you feeling, confident and at ease in these conversations and really make it possible.
All right. So you recently written an article about the difference between conflict and drama. So from a business perspective, you can have scenarios where conflict can be silent as well. So, how can you, okay. So firstly, go back and if you could explain a little bit what you meant about conflict versus drama, but then in a scenario where you kind of, the conflict is silent, how do you spot that within an organization?
So that's a really great question. So let's talk about the conflict being silent. And then we can talk about how we can kind of start avoiding this drama. So in terms of a conflict being silent, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Silence is a form of communication, right? So if they're being silent about something, once again, my whole thing is assertive communication. You're going to see most communication experts are going to recommend you be assertive about those things, because if you don't address them, they're going to drag on. It's going to get worse. You're going to dig yourself a hole. It's going to be harder to come out of. So if you're noticing that someone is not really communicating with you, or they're avoiding you, or they're not speaking up in meetings for whatever reason, and you suspect it has something to do with you, my recommendation, book a meeting with them, get them into a private room, plan in advance, say, hey, listen, I just want to make sure everything's okay with us. You're on my team. I want to make sure we're working well together. And the intention of this conversation is just to make sure that we get to say whatever it is that we need to say, so that we can get back on the same page, because I want to make sure that we're working well together, whatever it is. So whether it's silent or spoken, conflict is going to be conflict. That's kind of that question. Is that a satisfying answer? Did you have anything else kind of in mind around that?
No, that's good. So just let's touch a little bit on conflict versus drama based on the article you wrote there. It was again back in the past, wasn't it?
That's right. What a great source of learning there. Intimate relationships, right? It kind of started. So I moved to South Africa pretty recently. I'm originally from Toronto, Canada. I moved to South Africa at the beginning of the year, right before all this COVID stuff broke out. And, you know, transitions are hard. Transitions, even like, you know, especially moving to a new place, new continent, navigating grocery stores that I don't know what products they have available, figuring out my fitness routine, what food I'm going to have, where I'm going to live, running my business, keeping in touch with family and friends. You know, and then obviously wanting to explore a new city that I'm in and get outside. So yeah, transitions can be tough. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. And we immediately faced some challenges as soon as we got here. There were breakdowns, not navigating our space well in terms of being able to have client calls and all that kind of stuff. And so what we were able to do with the situation is, with many years of practice, remind you, okay, so this is not like something that, oh yeah, we just did this. We've been working on this for a long time, from that trip that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode until now. We have been working so that we can really minimize this conflict. And what happened is we had this conflict. And what came out of it was a series of tough conversations where we created a new structure. And although this is going to sound, I know this sounds like super simple, but it was like a really big deal for us, is that we just realized that we were not scheduled together, or like I was planning my week in advance and she was planning hers, but there just wasn't enough touch points. And so we created this new structure where every morning for, you know, 5 to 15 minutes, we go through our calendar for the day and the next 3 days actually. And we just make sure there's no conflicts. We kind of have an idea of what the other person's doing, and it instantly disappeared our problems. And so the reason that was kind of a light bulb moment for me was because that could have been much more nasty. So we had this conflict, we had this like tension, this disruption of the normal workings of our relationship. And it could have headed in this direction where we could have said, well, you didn't tell me about this, and like, da-da-da. So there's blame, criticism, judgments, labels, whatever kind of unhelpful forms of communication kind of slip into there. But instead, what we actually ended up doing was coming up with this creative solution that served us tremendously. And I've even since shared this story with a bunch of people, and a bunch of other couples have implemented this little thing. Even though it's like a small thing, it's just like, oh, that's like a pretty cool idea. And so the idea behind this article, and what I want you and your listeners to take away, is that conflict is not something to be scared of, is not something to avoid. Conflict is actually a totally normal, natural, and it's actually a neutral phenomenon. There's nothing good or bad about conflict. It's what you do with conflict that we can then deem as something good or bad. And when we don't manage conflict well, it turns into drama. It turns into this destructive thing that doesn't actually get us toward any solutions. Or we can turn it into something else. We can use it as a force to create something brand new that didn't exist before. We can really use conflict as a tool, as a catalyst for change, as a tool for growth. And that's really the essence of what I would call conflict transformation. It's transforming conflict and using it in a way that actually moves us forward, rather than gets us stuck in, you know, endless cycles of drama.
So actually, that was the next thing I wanted to chat to you about, was, okay, what do you mean by conflict transformation? So I guess you've given us an outline there. So I guess you can't always get positives out of every conflict that comes along. So how does conflict transformation work in that context, if there really is no suitable outcome?
That's a great question. And listen, Bhairav, my firm belief is that anything can be resolved in communication, but it has to be done in communication. And communication is a two-way street. That means both people need to be speaking and listening with each other. And that last part is usually what's neglected in a lot of conversations, especially when it comes to conflict. There's not tons of listening going on. So the thing is when it comes to conflict transformation, yeah, you need to have two parties that are actually willing to come together and transform a conflict. Obviously, with like me and my wife, that's pretty easy. I mean, she's game to making this work. So am I. And she's practiced in communication. We've had lots of these kind of conversations before. It worked well. That's not always going to be the case, especially in the workplace. You know, there are just people who are really, they're just very interested in being right about things. I get it. And so the whole idea behind drama and this other direction, which we'll call creativity, it's not a, like a black or white thing. It's not like you're only heading down drama or only heading down creativity. What it really is more of a spectrum. And what our goal is to minimize the amount of drama, is to minimize it. And we can do that in all sorts of ways, with all sorts of communication tactics, with all sorts of lots of listening and repeating back what we hear them say. And ideally come to a resolution where they feel like their needs are met and you feel like your needs are met. And it will take time, for sure. Not always, but it can take time. But I truly believe that, you know, you can transform any conflict into something, and ultimately the choice is yours. And the degree of how much drama and conflict, you have a large amount of influence on what direction it heads.
So there's a couple of things I think really interesting that I want to dive a little bit deeper into.
Yeah.
One around communication. Now, there are plenty of people out there who don't like to communicate, in the sense that, let's say, for example, you and I, you know, we both got podcasts, we love talking. Not necessarily love the sound of our own voice, but we do love, you know, we're open to that kind of communication. But there are a number of people who feel very difficult about talking, not necessarily about their own emotions, but even in a work context, they feel they're not able to open themselves up to a boss or a colleague or whatever it is. They feel very private about their problems. So how do you tackle that situation?
That's a really good question. And it's really tough to tackle that situation, right? Especially when sometimes these personal issues really actually impact us in the workplace, right? We're not always, it's not so easy to leave our emotions at the door and just kind of carry on with our day. You know, when it comes to others, again, the golden rule is you can't control them. They are going to do what they're going to do. Now, if you're really having difficulties with this person and they're not communicating with you, I mean, that's a conversation. And you can express yourself. You can say like, hey, listen, you know, like I want to have a conversation with you about this. Maybe they're not expressing themselves. Listen, like my request for you is that you share a little bit more about your thoughts on this. Cause right now, objectively speaking, you know, this, and this are being impacted. And I want to hear what you have to say. And you make that request. And if they can't fulfill on that request, then that's a conversation that you have with bosses, you have with HR, you have with whoever you need to. But I say you just be very straightforward about it, very to the point about it. And when you're having these conversations with people who are very private, is definitely one thing is have these conversations be one-on-one. Don't start this conversation at the end of a meeting when you're, you know, frustrated with how this person has been responding. Pull them aside. You really want to, you know, one mindset shift I talk to my clients about is what I call the partnership mindset. Is I want you to really imagine like this person is your partner and their success will directly impact your success. And if we really see them as a partner, then what we do is we start to shift of like, okay, well, it's not me against this person. It's actually me against this person. It's me and this person against the problem. And the problem is that I'm not getting as enough communication. Maybe because that is how they grew up or that is how, you know, they've been communicating their whole life. That's not a problem. Now we just get to work together to find a way to have them feel comfortable to express themselves in a way that serves them and serves me and the team. So it's kind of hard. This is all very conceptual. We would need some more specific examples, but I'm hoping that you, Bhairav, and our listeners are hearing that at the end of the day, communication is the only way through this. If they're not willing to speak, then you speak about the fact that they're not willing to speak. And you actually ask them, is that true? Are you willing to speak more? And make specific requests. What is it that you want from this person? Do you want them to just speak more? That's not really that specific. But if you say, hey, listen, when we're in meetings with this person, I'd like you to contribute at least once because I think that would make a really big difference for our team. So we can already start to see that we're being more clear about what it is that we want, and we're more likely to get what it is that we want. Is that unclear? Like, does that answer your question at all?
That's great. I think so the other point I wanted to pick up from your previous answer was about listening. So that's something that, you know, I've been reading a lot about recently, just in some various nonfiction business books, and the kind of big takeaway from a lot of what I've been reading recently is about, no matter what situation you're in, listening is obviously the key, right? Whether you're listening to your customers, you're listening to your teams, you're listening to your partner. How do you learn to listen?
Well, that's a very profound question.
That's a bit deep.
It's a very profound question.
So, I mean, the thing is, I guess at the ultimately, there's a lot of people that they talk, and you're in a conversation, but oftentimes you'll feel that they're there, but they're not necessarily present, right? And they may well be hearing your words, but not necessarily kind of understanding what you're saying, or even absorbing what you're saying. And I think if you've seen that in other people, then you can recognize that a little bit in yourself, that, you know, you may walk into a conversation. So, for example, that if we're looking at in a conflict situation where you're about to go and discuss something with someone, you've got your piece of paper, you've written down the points that you want to express, you start that conversation, and then you're just very focused on your points, and you haven't necessarily responded to their points. But this is kind of natural, simply because your adrenaline will be pumping. You know, you'll be aching to get your point across.
Of course.
And once you've said everything, you think, wow, that's it, I've said everything. But that's not the end of the conversation, right? So obviously that's the beginning
that's
of the conversation.
Right.
So that's right. You need to, in a way, take a step back and stop talking and start opening up your ears. But it's not intuitive for many people, actually, probably not intuitive for anyone, really. So, you know, do you have any techniques or any ways of kind of helping people listen better, I guess, is the key?
Yeah, I can offer a few things here, okay? So just to agree, yeah, listening is non-intuitive. And it's so funny because, you know, I have my podcast, the Mindful Communication Podcast. I have all these communication experts from all over the world. These very systems that I study, I've now had a chance to talk to a lot of these people, which is really cool. And listen, at the end of the day, like the fundamental basis of any communication book you're going to read is just like learn to listen. And listening entails shutting your mouth and just being with the other person's communication. And that's it. Now, you're in this, I love this example. Let's like break this down, right? You have this piece of paper, you have this difficult conversation you're going to have. You really want to like get them to understand where you're at. Like you want to express yourself. I get it. The thing is just put yourself in their shoes just for a quick second. Say that this conversation is not going well with another coworker. They have booked a meeting with you. They come in with this like piece of paper. You don't know what it's about. And they say, listen, you know, we really need to talk about this. Here's what we need to talk about. You're like, realistically, when I put myself in that scenario, I'm not going to listen to them. I have like a million things to say about this. And so if you consider that, when you're going in with that piece of paper and you have a bunch of things that you want to say to the other person, they're not listening because they also have a bunch of things on their mind. So, this is a practice. This is a practice not just in listening skills. This is a practice in patience, in compassion. It's that when you come to the point when you realize that, like, you know, sometimes when you're in this difficult conversation, there's a lot of built up tension. And there's just a bunch of things in someone's mind that they need to get out. My number one strategy is, especially because I have it written down on a piece of paper, is as I sit there and I just listen to them. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put all my stuff aside. I know it's going to get addressed. Maybe not in this conversation, but in the next conversation, we're going to talk about it. No problem. But I'm going to actually listen to this person. And what I'll do is I'm going to repeat back what it is that they say. Often I'm going to interrupt them and say, okay, hold on. Actually, can I jump in here? I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. It's, you know, you're saying that X, 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 da, 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 da. Is that right? And they're going to be like, yes, and da, 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 da. And they're going to continue. That means that they have more to say.
So you're essentially saying repeat back. It's in a way, you have to pay enough attention so that you're able to repeat back exactly what they're saying.
I didn't say this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
I just said this is a way to do it. It's one person has to put all the things that they want to say aside. And right now, it's you and me talking, and it's your listeners listening. So the other person in the conversation, they're not hearing this conversation that we're having. So the odds of them really putting their thoughts aside to listen to you are probably pretty small. So we have to be the bigger person here. And we have control over our own thoughts, feelings, and actions. We can't control what they do. So if I know that for the success of this conversation, what it takes is it takes someone needs to listen, then I'm going to be the big person here, and I'm going to be like, okay, what do you think about this? What do you think about our relationship so far? How do you think that meeting went? You know, I think that, you know, this project actually went really poorly because of a few key things you did, but I want to hear your opinion on it first. Please, like, lay it on me. And then just listen, and every once in a while, repeat back. Make sure that they got that you got it. That's really important, too, because they can't just, if they're just saying things, they want to know that you understand. Humans, we deeply crave to be heard and understood. Wow, do we crave to be heard and understood? That is like one of the most fundamental needs we have as humans. And so if you can demonstrate that by just like saying, okay, so you're saying X, Y, Z. Okay, so to make sure I'm on the same page, you know, what we're saying is X, Y, Z. Is that right? That makes a world of difference. Okay. One last thing I do want to suggest as a mindset, and this is something I talk about with my clients as well, and I need this reminder pretty often. When it comes to these difficult conversations, it's not going to be just one conversation, especially these really big ones, the big ones that you've been avoiding for a really long time. It's actually a series of conversations about a larger topic. And so consider you're not going to get it all resolved in one go. Just make little chips away at it and slowly steer the ship of this conversation in the direction that you want to be heading. Having that mindset, having that patience and that long view is going to make a world of difference heading into these scenarios.
Excellent. So there's a couple more topics I just want to cover here. One I find is very interesting and very kind of close to my own heart is that you, like I, have traveled a fair bit and you've done a lot of traveling in Asia. And so how do you feel that people from different parts of the world handle conflict? As you've traveled around, so you're in South Africa now, you're from Toronto, I think you traveled around South America as well as Asia. How do you see the different people handling conflict? Is everyone essentially the same or do people handle things different?
There are similarities and there are differences. And I think for the most part, it's pretty ubiquitous that it just depends on the person. I don't want to make any general assumptions. I'm also not any sort of expert on intercultural communication. I have my own experiences. I noticed that in some cultures are much more straightforward, and then a lot of cultures are not, and they avoid those difficult conversations as much as possible. And it also comes down to the individual, because I bet you're going to find plenty of exceptions in between. But generally speaking, you know, from the human being's point of view, is that we do not like feeling uncomfortable. We try to avoid things that scare us. So the most people will avoid difficult conversations, and you'll find people that are, you know, my background, my parents are from Israel, and it's a very straightforward culture. A lot of people there have no problem sharing their mind. And I don't want a blanket statement because there's 6-7 million people that live there. Lots of people there avoid difficult, right? I know that's not the most satisfying answer. But at the end of the day, you know, that's just kind of my perspective on it, is that every person is going to be different. There might be some cultural nuances that you can notice, but at the most important thing to remember when you're dealing with someone from another culture is to do your best to understand where they're coming from, where their point of view is, and just remember that you are responsible for your thoughts, feelings, and actions. You are not responsible for their thoughts, feelings, and actions. If they are offended by something that you've said, then you can be responsible to that. You can do your best to rectify it. You can talk to the appropriate authorities that need to handle a situation. But at the end of the day, they're going to think what they're going to think. And that's just how that goes. And you just got to be responsible for what you can do about the situation.
I think there's a whole other topic in there around, you know, cultural appropriation and political correctness and all that stuff, but we definitely don't have time for that.
No.
I'd like to just like a couple of last questions draw to an end to this podcast.
Yeah.
So when should you bring some third party in to resolve conflicts?
You know, the advantage of a third party is that they really do have a different perspective. They can really offer us that bird's eye view. And I don't think that there's harm in any time to bring in a third party. I think at any time when there's a conflict, having a third party is an awesome option. And it could just be another friend. It could be a work colleague. It could be like a really casual thing. Generally speaking, in the business world, third parties are brought in when people aren't listening to each other, when you're not getting anywhere, and you're not probably getting anywhere because you're not really communicating with each other. I don't think there's any hard, fast rule about it, but having the extra perspective is always helpful. And the key thing is you got to make sure that this third party is a neutral, non-judgmental third party observer, that they are only interested in the facts, not people's interpretations of what happens. The third party does not care. So if I'm mediating a conversation, I'm not as interested in the stories. I'm interested in what happened and why do you feel like you feel, what needs of yours weren't being met. Then checking on the other party. Did you hear what they said? What did you hear them say? And just making sure that they really got it and then flipping back and forth. So it's a pretty simple process. I think a third party can be brought in at anytime, conversations big or small. I'm going to leave that judgment up to you and your listeners to find out, to know when that time will actually be.
Okay, so so last couple of questions now. You've got your own, Mindful Communication is your own business. You've got your own podcast. How do people get in contact with you? What kind of clients do you have? Who do you interview on your podcast?
Yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about that. I work primarily with entrepreneurs. Just solidifying those conflict skills. But also when we dive into the world of conflict, what comes out on the other side is connection. So it's really just being about being a masterful communicator, just being able to handle any social situation, whether it's a networking event or a presentation or a difficult conversation or connecting with family, whatever it is, communication is the key ultimately to, nurturing these relationships. And relationships, the quality of our relationships is heavily dictates, I would even say completely dictates, the quality of our life. So that's kind of the world of work that I do. And ways that you can get in touch with me, Mindful Communication Podcast. I have experts all around the realm of communication. So we do talk about conflict, but we go well beyond that as well. Anything and everything communication and how we connect with one another and even how we connect with ourselves. Fascinating stuff. Highly recommend that. I would also say to check out my website. I'm not sure by the time this episode comes out, you may or may not find a free training series of videos, something like 4 videos where I'm going to walk through some awesome conflict transformation skills that you can use that I promise will make a difference in your life. You'll see immediate differences. You can also sign up for my email. I send out a monthly email with lots of great tips, tricks, stories, also my conflict assessment tool. So if you buy Rav or one of our listeners has a really tough conversation, they've loved this podcast and they're still feeling like there's missing pieces for it, I do this conflict assessment tool. It's a 1-hour conversation with yours truly. And we actually develop a roadmap for so you have that piece of paper for how to approach that tough conversation in a way that's natural and powerful for you. And if you use the discount code Adam, like the podcast, 50, then you'll get 50% off for the next month after this podcast comes out.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll write that down actually so we can have to spread that out when we publish the podcast. Yeah, excellent. So last question is, if you go back in time 20 years and give advice to your younger self, what would that advice be?
You know, Bhairav, you sent me this question in advance and oh my gosh, it has plagued me, let me tell you. Because I'm in the mindset that, not like an everything happens for a reason, but the way things happen, it's perfect. Like I wouldn't be where I am right now if all these different things had or had not happened. But really some advice I think I need to hear right now, and I could have her 20 years ago just the same is don't worry about looking so good. Don't worry about avoiding looking bad. Just do what, do what's true to you. Not everyone's going to like you. And that's totally fine. Just like find your people, find the people that really love you, be yourself, and no, everything will be okay.
I think that talks a lot to what you said previously, is you can't control other people, right? So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't spend your life trying to please other people, because then you're not going to be pleasing yourself.
Excellent. So thanks a lot for that. That's been, it's been great. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Likewise.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.